love to pop, not soda.
It's pop. Like this. Pop.
Welcome to Pop, Not Soda. And now it's time for Brian and... Oh, damn. Enjoy the show!
Welcome to Pop Not Soda. My name is Dan, and welcome to your weekly sits pack of pop culture. I am here with my co-hosts Brett and Brian, and our very special guest, Gary Tessero from themindlife.com. How's it going, Gary?
Fantastic. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Yeah, we're very excited to have you, brother. So you have The Mind Life coming on right now. Can you explain a little bit about it? Because we are
currently mining while
I'm
recording.
I'm thumb deep in it right now.
Brian is spelunking right thumb now over deep. Here.
So what we have here...
It's not the first time he's been thumb deep.
Take it away, Gary.
really tight ship over here.
So what we have here is a little mix between an online auction and free game.
And it's The Mind Life.
And it's called The Mind Life.
You can find it at themindlife.com. Check it out. Gary, how do you break it down, though? How do you play this game, man?
So the first thing you're going to do is obviously start with all the free games. You go in there, you pick a balloon, it gives you free minds. You use these free minds to win, like, free points. And...
Brian just had the most frustrated look over there. I think he just lost something right now.
Motherfucker.
What just happened?
No, gangster won again. Gangster just won again.
You guys are the worst.
We really are. Well, we're trying to do this thing called like record a podcast and play at the same time. It's a little bit.
We definitely messed that up by not recording the first 45 minutes.
I know. Shit. That's my fault over here.
But
that's
we did at least spill a beer.
Yeah.
So we could check that off.
I broke my number one rule.
It's okay. It only cost me $150.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
No, yeah. But that's what Gary... Yeah, halftime, we've been doing this for about 45 minutes now. Gary looks over at me about three times in the last 45 minutes just going, are we on tape right now, bro? Why the hell aren't we on tape?
Why aren't we recording?
What is going on right now? So yeah, it's a gaming experience, right? We go to the Mind Life. We start mining for prizes, iPads, cruises, things like that.
Points.
Yeah, points. Social media,
you know,
points.
If you're playing the free game, then it's for points, and these points can accumulate into what you actually end up paying for, like it would be on the online auction game, where like we just saw someone just won a $100 shopping spree.
Jesus.
Anywhere that Visa is accepted. He won that for 41 cents.
Brian, how are you going to spend that 100? Oh, I'm sorry.
But whose fault was it?
Yeah.
I'm blaming Brett.
We're not going to point fingers.
He fully gets the wrench tonight.
Because my fingers are currently occupied mining.
Well, that's cool, man. So you got this site. It's launched. The big launch is as of today, right? I mean, that's when everything's going down. It's been around for a couple months now, yeah, but this
we've plugged it on the show before, especially if you listened to our episode last week.
Yeah.
We definitely plugged it. So hopefully you've already checked it out if you're listening now.
So, yes, we came out November 22nd.
And oh, hell yeah.
We gave away like 30 grand in a week. And unfortunately, we realized that we weren't... to the technological standpoint that this game required, the rest of the market, if you were playing in 15 games right now, you would need 15 tabs. So right here we have it to where you're on our homepage, and you can just stay on one page and play up to 15 games at one time.
And you have things going it's every minute, every hour, every half day. I mean, we're in an auction that's cranking down right now for what, an hour from now?
The free games are 24/7.
Jesus.
So nice. since there's a resetting clock on these things, you end up with a ton of auctions going on, games going on at one time.
That's cool.
And just like what just happened, you look away for 5 seconds to do an intro to a podcast, and boom!
$100 is out from your mitts.
Some asshole comes in and does a clean sweep.
Yeah, we've all been vulturing each other while we were trying to like go live tonight. And yeah, we should have probably been on the air 20 minutes ago, but it didn't happen.
This either means we're going to have to do another one after we finish the podcast and actually record it for $100.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
No, I'm winning this PayPal one. I'm just winning this PayPal gift card. I don't care what anyone says.
Yeah, Dan's.
You really think so, huh?
So yeah. we might have to own this podcast for the next half.
Yeah, so if you hear any of us shout while we're talking about different topics, this is because one of us is either losing or winning.
I think I did a pretty good job of doing
losing,
losing,
and getting all of the F's and all the big bombs out.
Right.
Well, I think
the silent throwing my hands in the air.
And you at least raised Mona's pulse up a little bit. I mean, because you were dropping it every like last 2 seconds. It was like B. Owens popping up.
Sits.
I know. I tried to do the same thing, and it did not work.
Yeah, yeah. But we're excited to have you on, brother. Thank you very, very much for coming on.
Yes.
Very excited to have you. We had an interesting week in news, too, this week, right?
Well, yeah. Kind of a sad week.
Yeah.
The first thing I think we want to jump into is...
It's not really interesting. Sorry. That wasn't a good tease. No. My bad. Yeah. Shit hit the fan a couple days ago in Brussels.
Yeah. That was Monday?
Yeah.
Was it Monday?
Monday, yeah.
The Brussels terrorist attack. What, two explosions at their main airport and then one at their metro station?
What they think is to be suicide bombers, right? And then the last one is
I don't know if they're suicide
the
bombers or just... I don't think they've confirmed that. They were just explosions.
But ISIS is claiming.
Yeah,
ISIS is claiming credit. Yeah.
Which, oh, man. It's crazy. It Oh, that would be the table. It is crazy that... I don't know. It wasn't that big of a... Like, I saw it when I woke up because, you know, they're 9 to 10 hours ahead of us. And it was just like another day.
That's what's I think scary is this stuff is becoming like it's almost like shootings now. Terrorist attacks are becoming so just a norm. I mean, you hear it all the time, and I mean this was tied back to the Paris attack a year ago too, where they didn't even catch these fuckers, and you know it's just terrible what's happening now. That the historical precedent that's being set for terrorist attacks on peaceful land.
Yeah, it's wild. I mean, there was an attack in Turkey, you know, not too long ago, as well this most recent attack. And yeah, I think you're right. Like, I think it's gotten to the point now. There's been so many that you just kind of sit back and go, oh, shit, great, another one. You know, how many died in this attack? Is it, you know, under 100 people?
Where it was like 10... Okay, so this is my comparison right now. Where it was 10 years ago, or even 5 years ago, when this shit happened, the entire news station, every single news station was covering this for an hour straight.
Yeah, like the London train bomb.
Exactly. What was that, 3 years ago? Or
no,
so,
no, no,
or
no, that's like 7 years ago.
Okay, okay. That's I'm sorry. That, yeah. So it was a while ago. But even that stops news. There is no other news that's being covered. We're not covering missing dogs. Well, we're not covering high tide or anything like that. We're covering a domestic attack that's happened to one of our allied countries. And what's crazy about it is I saw it today. You're just watching a Brussels update on it, and they're, you know, going over everything, and then they just tease it to a segment in 2 minutes. And that's what it's becoming a norm.
Well, I think it's different because in different parts of the world, these attacks are kind of more common. And they're not covered as much. Like, there's a lot of terrorist attacks that happen in Africa that don't get half the news coverage that Brussels gets. Or in the Middle East. But I do think that the coverage that European European attacks have received has definitely gone down compared to what it used to be. I will tell you, there is one story that I read. I have not confirmed if it's true. But there was apparently one guy who was at the Boston Marathon bombing. He was in Paris last year during the attacks and was in Brussels on Monday.
No shit.
Like, the dude, I just don't want to be around him because he's apparently just a magnet for terrorist attacks.
He's also Mormon, and you never want to be too close to them. but yeah, he's a Mormon kid. He's on his mission right now.
This is crazy.
The reason, why he was, you know, in Paris and in Brussels.
Sounds like he should vacation to North Korea for a little bit.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
Damn it!
Dan just lost.
Sorry, I know we're talking about a very serious, topic right now. But literally, I was clicking this with 1 second ago, and it said that I did not enter...
Damn.
But the game ended.
Damn. But I think we should
let go of your finger at some point.
We should send our condolences, though. I mean, it was a terrible, terrible attack. I mean, if it was me, get the fuckers. I mean, I don't care. Put them on pay-per-view, torture them. It's just me being honest. But at some point,
apparently they caught arrested six people today.
In
Brussels.
Okay.
Related to, I mean, who knows if that's true or not,
yeah.
but
yeah,
at least that was reported.
Yeah. I mean, it's a very, very terrible thing. In other, I'd say, peaceful news, we had a trial that just ended, what, a week ago?
Yeah, we wanted to cover this last week, but we did not get a chance to. Mr. Hulk Hogan finished his legal case.
The real American.
Yeah, the real American dong, too, apparently.
Yeah, but he was suing Docker. He was suing Docker for their unlawful release of his sex tape.
Yeah. And did you guys watch any of this trial?
No.
Did you take it?
No.
I thought you were going to ask
did you watch
the
tape.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Which I did not. I did actually search for it at one point and then thought to myself, I don't want to... I don't really want to see Hulk Hogan naked.
I saw 9 seconds of it, which was, I think, the Gawker, the leak that Gawker had. The 9 seconds.
Oh, I didn't want to start my life.
It's terrible too, because he's basically like it's post any sexual interaction, and it's him just walking around with his like fake ass tan and his bright ass white leathery skin. No, and his white ass just walking around, and he's just like, I need some fucking food. I just need some food.
This is before or after he makes the racist comments.
Shit. You know, my timeline is a little bad on the sex tape, Dan. I only saw 9 seconds of it, but I'm assuming it was all looped in the...
So do you just see him in the
There's clip? There's an attractive woman. Well, you can't see her face. Never mind. She's laying...
See, those are strong words. You won't put out. How much of this sex tape did you see?
Jesus Christ. No. So she's laying on her stomach in the background on a bed, naked... And it's Hulk Hogan just walking around the room, just talking about how, yeah, just speaking his mind. I'd say it's stream of consciousness. Yeah, just telling her what he thinks about everything. And
okay.
Yeah, but it's 9 seconds of
Does
it.
Does he give her a leg drop? a third leg drop, maybe?
That's the funny thing is, so I was watching this, and to bring it up, in the trial, because they were leaking some footage of the trial that was happening. The interesting part was they actually talked about, I think it was the prosecution team was like, so Mr. Hogan, apparently you're talking about your penis being 11 inches. Is that the case, Mr. Hogan? And he goes, well, Hulk Hogan has an 11-inch penis. Terry doesn't have an, which is his real name, his legal name or whatever. He goes, Terry doesn't have a 11-inch penis, but it's Hulk Hogan does for sure. And it's just like the prosecution team the whole time is like, all right, and all right, next question.
I mean, what purpose does that serve, having him answer that question?
He has to have CTE. I'm sorry. I look at him, and there's something wrong.
Oh, he
does not live in
he's
reality.
He's out in the head. I mean, he even thought he was going to come back to WWE after this whole thing.
Yeah, no, that's not
WWE
how it works.
Is like, yeah, it's not a sex tape that was actually the problem, bro. Yeah,
it's all that racist shit you said.
Yeah, like,
oh, brother. And then,
it's because you still have love for him, Dan.
Yeah, no, I know. I
call him brother.
Yeah, you still watch the clip of him ripping his shirt off every night before you go to bed.
I mean, like, what does
doesn't
any,
need to? He's got posters of the simulation.
It's actually just on a loop. It's the only way you can fall asleep.
I am a real American.
The only thing worse than that is when he came back as Mr. America.
I do remember that.
That's
in
the only thing that's worse.
So do you think
he got something against Americans?
No, Hulk Hogan got fired.
He pretended to be...
He put on a freaking Captain America luchador mask, came out to the same music, and was like, I'm not Hulk Hogan. And his goatee is just sticking through his mask.
Yeah, it was brilliant writing. Brilliant writing. But hey, at the end of the day, would any of us want to see Hulk Hogan come back to the wrestling?
No.
No.
Did we actually...
You know what? I would trade him for Roddy Piper. That's all I'm saying.
Dude,
I wish Hulk Hogan would have died instead.
And you watch the matches, not to go off on a tangent, but you watch the matches.
Strong words, but I believe it.
You watch the matches. The guy sucked at wrestling, too, at the end of the day. So, I mean...
Well, not in the 80s, but...
A leg drop, bro? A special move, leg drop?
I'm sorry. The DDT used to be a finisher, too.
He had snakes.
Okay, what about the splash from the Warrior?
He had warrior paint on his face.
And lots of steroids.
Yeah, and he bench pressed dudes over his head, man. Come on.
Hulk slammed the Giant.
We're not going to argue Hulk semantics right here. Hulk Hogan got some money from Gawker through a trial.
$115 million, which I don't think he'll see any of it, because I'm pretty sure he probably owes Rent-A-Center like $50 million.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the only reason he did those commercials.
Oh, yeah. Like, so he could furnish his house.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, then he just got additional punitive damages too, didn't he? Like another $45 million or $50
million?
Something
I am not up to date on that. But doesn't he still, like, doesn't his family still owe money to the, like, the kid's family that his son killed in that, like, DUI crash?
Ooh. I don't know.
And that he's divorced, so I know he probably has alimony, too.
Oh. Well, no, the kids are both grown.
No, but I mean,
raised.
Like, okay.
I think I that's know. The only way you have to give alimony, because generally you just, like, oh, will true. Split your money.
Unless she says
happened.
That she gave up her career for his career.
It's, and just like yeah. a stipend.
I'll tell you, it's scary to me because
when's
guys
a fucking divorce lawyer when you need him?
Yeah, wait, Brett, you know this.
Yeah, Brett, you're about to get divorced.
Where's the prenup?
No,
when did either of them get a career?
Yeah, no, it's scary. Yeah, see, that's what's scary to me is as you guys are talking about this.
Look
right
who's
now,
talking about
like,
it.
You know what that shitty TV reality show did to me is I'm like, as you guys are talking this right now, I'm like, yeah, that's Terry, and that's Brooke, and that's Nick, and that's Linda. Yeah, yeah, I totally, I know the whole fucking family.
Do you know the theme song? Do you know the theme song?
No, I don't actually.
I don't either. I never watched.
Here come the Huggins. Did I get it right?
H O G A N S. It's the Huggins family.
I hope that they use the theme song from Hogan's Heroes just
ooh.
For that.
Good call.
You know he hasn't been afraid from stealing shit before from people. So,
although in saying that, I do not know the Hogan's Heroes theme, nor do I think have I ever heard it.
Dan Perez is about to win this Amazon gift card. Let's not jinx him, everybody, but Brian Owens just stepped in.
Man.
Right, oh, I'm back on top.
Right.
Oh,
stop touching it. You stop touching it.
That's no, not what she said.
No, so we have an interesting episode, though, coming up. We got an interview with Gary. Yes. We also have to talk about...
Brian's reviewing The Room.
Brian's reviewing The Room.
His Oster train.
Yes.
Cat Williams got the shit kicked out of him. We got to talk about that.
By a kid.
By a like 13-year-old.
I don't even think
grader.
A teenager, right.
Yep. And then we also got to talk one of our favorite sports broadcasters had some recent news that he just announced.
Well, yeah.
And we all got to talk about it.
Craig Sager, man.
Yeah.
If you don't know who Craig Sager is, if you ever watch NBA on TNT, he is the sideline reporter who is known for wearing outlandish suits. Like, always, bright colors, bright patterns.
Ostentatious, if you will.
Yeah, that's a good SAT word.
That's a 75-cent word right there, Brian.
Let me put my thesaurus down.
But he has already battled leukemia twice. It's gone into remission twice, but he just announced that he was diagnosed for a third time, and that this time it's terminal, and that he has about 3 to 6 months given. Which is super sad news, because Craig Sager is the nicest guy. And I have always appreciated seeing him on the sidelines. The players love him. The coaches love him. Even Coach Popovich from the Spurs, who is a very stern, kind of like cold guy, loves Craig Sager.
Yeah. They actually had a really, really well done piece on Real Sports. If anybody has HBO, I would highly suggest watching it. They talked about Popovich in it. But I didn't really know Craig Sager before this. All I'd seen him was an on-air personality. But this guy is a true, true down-to-earth man that wants to take care of his family. I mean, just you see certain things that he does, and he really cares about people, and he wants to leave a legacy, and it's sad to see somebody go through this.
Yeah, so definitely thoughts and prayers with Craig Sager and his family.
Yeah, best of luck to
you. Shout out to you, Craig.
I mean, he's beaten it twice already, so... Why not a third time?
And he had, exactly. I'll tell you too, if you can take it away, he had one of the best quotes in the special that he was talking about. And I think it's been all over the internet, but he basically got interviewed and the doctor said, well, you know, the prognosis is usually, it could be a week, it could be 3 to 6 months typically, or it could be 5 years. And he goes, well, we're going to make medical history. So, you know, hats off to you, Craig Sager. You're going to kick this shit. And we're rooting for you, brother.
I think with that, we will go to break because I really want to win this mind game. And we will be back with Brian's movie review. Yeah. What's up, everybody? Dan here from Pop Not Soda. Usually you hear me do some sort of advertisement or plug during our break, but we're actually got the man himself from the business we were plugging today, Gary from Jersey Sweaters. So he's going to tell you a little bit about Jersey Sweaters and where you can get them.
This is Gary, Jersey Sweaters. And
Gary, like, where can we find this stuff, man?
You can find these fantastic 100% quality knit sweaters at shopjerseysweater.com.
Right on. And you have NFL. Are you reaching into college area now?
So we actually have sports-inspired sweaters.
Okay.
That are colors and number schemes. But we just recently got the opportunity to get a few collegiate licenses.
Holy crap.
So a big game changer.
That's going to be huge.
ShopJerseySweater.com.
Awesome. And Gary has been so gracious enough to give us two jersey sweaters to give away. So as you're listening to this plug right now, on hopefully Monday, because you couldn't wait to hear the new episode of Pop Not Soda, go to Twitter, tweet at Jersey Sweaters and at pop_not_soda. The keyword you need to tweet those accounts.
Keyword.
Keyword is caterpillar soup. I know it's two words, but it's the keyword. Caterpillar soup. Tweet that to at Jersey Sweaters and at Pop Not Soda on Monday, and the first two people to tweet that will receive their very own authentic jersey sweater.
Nothing like that sweet, sweet tune to set you off for my movie review. So yeah, ladies and gentlemen, once again, this week I'm coming at you with Brian's Homeless movie review. This week, it would be rather nice to be in a room where I can lay my head consistently every night. But instead, I'm going to be talking about The Movie Room. Nominated for Best Picture. It is a film about a mother and her son, literally trapped in a room about as big as this sound studio that we're in right now. And
is it because of the story or is it because of the low budget? What was?
It's the story.
Okay.
The budget could be low as well, because you know then you can turn around and.
Oh, it's a win-win. Just which one comes first matters, you know? Like, when you're building an app, are you user-based or are you profit-based?
Right, and fair question. Definitely the story is the specific reason why.
Awesome,
they're in
the
room.
Driver of
yeah,
this
exactly.
Movie.
So cool. Basically, the woman in the movie gets kidnapped 7 years ago. The captor rapes her, gets her pregnant. She has a kid and then ends up raising this kid in this, like, 6x6 room that yeah exactly that that her and the kid are locked into forever. Like they do not go outside. It's like a security door with a keypad. Ain't nobody getting out of that. So
he locks them in there.
He does, yes. Okay. This captor locks them in there.
He
does bring them
to
food
do.
Yeah, exactly. No job, no sports to watch, just fuck with some people locked up in a room. So the movie is really interesting because it's like a pretty unique story, you know? Like, when have you heard of two
you
characters trapped
those
in a
people
room?
Get away with it. That's the point of the story, right?
I mean, yeah.
Or not the point of it. That's like one of the hard-hitting feelings behind when you watch it.
Yeah, it is. And hopefully this isn't happening often around the country. But... if it is, then that sucks, and you should just like do what you see in this movie. But it's you know, really well acted. Both the main actress in the movie, Brie Larson, who won for Best Actress, and this kid, Jacob Tremblay. What's really funny is I hear this kid's name and I just think of the movie Due Date. Because Zach Galifianakis, yeah, Zach Galifianakis' stage name is Ethan Tremblay, and so that always makes me chuckle. But no, this kid's legit. I don't know how old he is in real life, but in the movie he plays a 5-year-old kid.
This is the kid with the hot parents that were out at the Oscars, right? Ethan Tremblay?
Yes, yep, yes. Uh-huh. Who's just fucking pimping the Oscars with his little... Yeah, fucking little kid swag, just... dripping all over the place. And yeah, the kid's awesome. I mean, obviously the main actress is great in it. She won the Oscar. But it's really unique story and kind of refreshing after watching a couple of these other Oscar nominated films, just because they're either based on true stories or just kind of boring, to be quite honest. So Room, it's definitely an emotional experience. You really feel for these characters, and you kind of think to yourself, fuck, if I was trapped in a room all day every day, like how would I react and what would I do? And then subsequently, if I got out, what would I do? So that part is really entertaining. So I would definitely recommend to see it. It's I think worth the experience.
I'm curious. I got to ask you a question, because 10 Cloverfield Lane came out about a week and a half ago. Is it as atmospheric as a movie? Is it more? Is it less? Is there something going on in the outside that they're like teasing, or is it more of just these people existing in that room until?
Yeah, they're just straight up trapped in a room. That's and crazy. They give you nothing about what's going on the outside until something happens, and that is explored. So yeah, you it's just a room, and then there's one skylight on the top, and that's all that these people get to see, because the guy comes in at night, so you never like see the outside. So yeah, I mean, all in all, really good movie. Maybe don't watch it before you go to bed. It's creepy to think about in certain senses.
And is it claustrophobic?
I would say so, absolutely.
Okay.
And then there's also some really uncomfortable scenes as well involved with their captor.
Who?
And some Hulk Hogan type activities.
Oh.
Lots of leg drops and body slams, if you know what I mean. I would say for Room, Oscar nominated pick, I'm giving 4 out of 5 quarters.
A whole dollar.
Yeah.
Damn. Dollar.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not as good as mine dollars, but.
Now, without giving it away, does them escaping the room, is that more of the story? Is that less of the story?
It's basically two movies.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll say that.
That makes it very interesting to see.
Yeah. 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 And that's one of the reasons why I think the kid's performance is so good, because he plays a character who has literally never seen the outside world until he does.
Yeah.
And then like how you would react if you see the outside world for the first time.
Yeah. That's crazy. So Brian's giving it a buck on the room.
Yeah. You know who might need a buck these days?
Mister, is it a comedian?
I believe so, yeah. That's Mr. Cat Williams.
And that's like double or triple the court appearances that he's probably staged up in the next few months.
Man, how the little black squeaky men have fallen. no joke, at one point he was probably the top comedian.
He was bigger than Kevin Hart.
2008.
Bigger than Kevin Hart.
Well, before Kevin Hart even got big.
Yeah, I guess so.
Cat Williams was there first.
Well, yeah. Let's not forget that Kevin Hart was trying to sell himself in 40-Year-Old Virgin in 2003, and it took a while. So Cat Williams was owning it for
both,
a long
they
time.
They were both on Wild 'N Out.
Yeah, Cat Williams owned it for a long time, though.
Kevin Hart was on Wild 'N Out?
For a couple episodes, yeah.
At
the very beginning.
What?
First season. I'm like 98%. Craft Research Team will get on it right now. I hate Gangster. He just beat all three of us.
He would not
Are
give
you
up.
Kidding me? Unbelievable. Like,
what the?
We all just lost.
Fucking A.
You had one left, and I accidentally fat fingered it. Not where it was. Totally my fault. You have one premium mine left. The one thing that did suck that I am kind of mad at is I premium loaded quite a few times down at the end. I still hit it right now. And, you hit on your account the last eight mines were premium mines. So you should have four mine dollars instantly.
Boom.
So you should have had four more mines to be able to keep going. But
we're beta testing this right now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fine.
We're trying to break.
This is not a beta test.
No, we're not beta.
This is scaling in 3 weeks. So if there are these kind of errors right now, I better just lock myself in that basement we built this thing in.
Yeah, we're just going to stop the podcast right now.
So speaking of room,
we're filming the room.
Gary's life.
Yeah, the room two.
Room two, yeah. Room two, the mine life.
No, but I think, yeah, so getting back to Cat Williams, though, he has had a downward spiral in the last, what, 3 months or so?
Well, longer than that. I mean,
he tried to talk the shit out of somebody.
A couple years ago, he punched a Target employee.
That's right, that's right. But I think that was kind of racially fueled from what I heard. Well, I guess that's always
he wasn't
what
he living
says.
The mine life, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, he sure wasn't.
Which you guys haven't even gone and played your win cubes yet.
Oh, Jesus.
To see what you won for playing.
For losing, right.
That'll be episode 10.5 on this one.
Yeah. I wonder if there's going to be a DVD copy of The Pimp Chronicles by Cat Williams. Is that one of your giveaways?
So Cat Williams, though, back to it.
I hope so. Like, that was one of his best stand-ups.
I mean, it was Pimp Chronicles.
So it was like one of the Dave Chappelle's.
That's
when
he came out when he was in the Green Velvet, right?
Yep, Green Velvet. That was him about stealing his kids' breakfast cereal and things like that.
Yep.
But getting back to the point, that guy has fallen hard in the last 2 to 3 months. Cat Williams, what the hell is going on in your head? Just last week, what happened, Brian?
So this shit's just crazy. I don't know the entire backstory. I've just seen the cell phone video. So at a certain point, Cat Williams is in like some random neighborhood surrounded by...
No, they're playing soccer doing before this happened.
Okay, got it. So they're playing a little footy. I can't believe that Cat Williams has ever seen or kicked a soccer ball before. But who knows? Maybe this is the first time. And then at a certain point, they're like done taking a break or whatever. And this kid's like recording himself, taking a snap of Cat Williams behind him. And then all of a sudden, this like pretty tall, skinny black kid just gets in his face. And they're saying something to each other. And then Cat Williams just swings at him. And this kid's like maybe 12, 13 years old. And so that video cuts because it's, you know, Snapchat, it can only take so long. And then there's another video of this kid jumping on Cat Williams' back and basically just putting him in a rear naked chokehold. And then that's when people like jump in and separate him. And then he's just like laying on the ground.
Cat Williams is.
And like people are trying to help him up and he's just like hanging out. He's like, nah, I'm cool.
And this is after a month ago where he tried to street fighter a guy on a concert stage, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
So, I mean, he's on a downward spiral. Dan, talking to the social media expert over here, what do you think is going on with Cat Williams?
Crack.
Is that what you... No joke. Like, this is a mental breakdown.
I definitely think... Well, one, I think the hit to his popularity started... I don't know, because I feel like his type of comedy was good in the late like 2000s, but then like 2010 I think it peaked. And he didn't land any like movie roles. And I do think people like Kevin Hart, who he called a puppet, started getting a lot more movie roles than Cat Williams.
Do you think he's more reliable?
Who?
Kevin Hart.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And I think that probably got to him, that people were getting movie roles over him. And I think the reason why he picks on Kevin Hart is because they're both like 4'12".
Yeah. Well, I mean, don't forget that your acting chops have been talented up to, next Friday 3? Friday After Next?
He was in Friday After Nets.
Was he in anything else beyond that?
Yeah, he was in, what's the church one where like they hold up a church?
Oh my God.
They hold up a church?
Yeah.
That was Cat Williams.
They like hold a church hostage.
What?
And he's like the choir director.
That was a story you didn't hear about that happened 2 weeks ago with Cat Williams.
No, this is a movie.
Are you sure that's not real life?
This is a movie.
IRL?
It's not a Tyler Perry movie. He was in... I'm assuming they were both in Soul Plane. I don't know. I've never seen Soul Plane.
I know Kevin Hart was in Soul Plane.
Yeah, I know Kevin Hart was in Soul Plane. Was he in How High? I feel like he was in How High.
Okay, maybe.
He was not in How High.
He's not. Who's the pimp in How High?
That's Mike Epps, and dude, then Mike Epps. The other no, who's his like his, sidekick.
Who's his sidekick?
Is somebody not
Kripakana Kanalai? I thought. Come on, man. That is Mike Epps all the way.
It's been a very long time since I've seen that. I thought he was the sidekick.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, yeah. But anyway, so getting back to it, though, what do you think is happening?
Drugs probably playing.
Drugs are fueled in this. And Dan is, I think, the most, you know, patient person before throwing that label on somebody.
Well, here's my question. Yeah. Why the fuck is Cat Williams playing soccer with a bunch of kids?
I don't know. He has like one glove on. Yeah. And he just doesn't look like he's happy. It didn't look like it was for charity either. It looked like it was like a playground. Which, hey, it could have been a cool story. Maybe he was just taking a walk around the neighborhood, see some kids playing soccer. He's like, oh, Cat Williams is going to play soccer with some kids. That's a great time. That's cool. That's a great thing for publicity that you're doing something with the community. Then when the kids start to talk shit and you talk shit back and then you sucker punch one of the kids and get choked out, not so great.
Yeah. I think the sad story is, too, is I don't know. He's a good comedian.
Scary Movie 5.
Oh, yeah. Crack Research Team's on that. He's a good comedian at the end of the day. Well, the first couple specials.
First Sunday is that movie.
The first couple specials I saw were pretty funny. Beyond that, though, it seems to be the same shit.
Where Ice Cube and Tracy Morgan hold up a church.
Okay. I actually think that might be pretty funny.
He's in the blockbuster Norbit with Eddie Murphy.
Pop Not Soda might have to go to the movies to see that Sunday.
To see First Sunday. Is that rated R? Is First Sunday a rated R film?
He plays Ricky in it, and it's PG-13.
Oh, fuck that.
No, never mind. Not happening.
Sorry, Cat Williams.
He plays Delicious in The Perfect Holiday. That's the one where like Queen Latifah's going to die, right?
Delicious?
Oh, no. The Perfect Holiday. A young girl turns to a department store Santa in the hopes that he will help find a new husband for her divorced mother.
Let me guess, Cat Williams is Santa?
No, he's Delicious, bro.
Oh, my God. What the... Dude.
No, bro. Morris Chestnut.
Oh, is that... That's where she's like a hairdresser or something, right?
No, I'm pretty sure Faison Love is Santa in this. And Morris Chestnut is who is the new dad.
Well, let's stop talking about The Last Holiday. What is going on right now? We've been talking about Cat Williams way too long. I think it's making us delirious.
Yeah, it is.
Not delicious.
I feel like I've just hit a crack pipe.
I just... It, like
talking about his stories makes me feel like I'm on
this,
drugs.
This is my favorite thing. is that 2 weeks ago he calls out Kevin Hart, calls him a puppet
for like a $5 million challenge.
Challenges him to like five million dollar bets for a total of $5 million, and then the next week is like, oh yeah, I can't do that. That's been called off. There won't be no special. There won't be no bet. That's not happening.
Because
I don't have $5 million to lose.
Well, he gets his ass kicked.
The funny thing was he went to consult his finance team, and then he realized he didn't have a finance team. And then he went to the bank, and the bank was like, you don't have any money.
Like, that's the thing. You know, like people like... Because Cat Williams, I think, was a pimp for a little bit. I'm pretty sure, like, that's on record.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pimp names.
It's like how Jay-Z did sell dope for a bit.
The Pimp Chronicles.
But... Jay-Z didn't go back to selling dope.
True.
After he became a star. I feel like Cat Williams may have to go back to being a pimp or being pimped out himself.
Mm. He does have pretty hair these days.
Yeah.
I think when you're a stand-up comedian at that level, though, you're almost getting pimped out yourself.
Dan, that's hilarious.
That's all I need is one rave review.
Fantastic.
All right, get out of here, Dan.
I'm gonna
retire right now. Yeah. Thank you. It's been a great career.
Just retire the Cat Williams thing. You've retired that subject.
You missed it when I said that Major League gave Charlie Sheen AIDS. That was the last time I almost retired. But okay, without further ado, we want to get into all of the makings. The Bat Story, and Jerry himself.
The segue just makes me kind of seem like a dick.
Oh, God.
No, we're going to get all up in you right now. Yeah. I hope you're ready.
No Hulk Hogan.
I hope you've drank enough.
Gawker, hope you're watching.
Well, Gawker's broke now, so.
That's true.
They can't afford this free podcast.
Yeah, somebody came in earlier in our sound room and was like, we're going to have to pull these cameras. We're not having these anymore. So.
Thank you.
Yeah. We got Gary. Gary is inducing the rules on the studio.
Because Brett spilled a beer on the table with all the expensive equipment tonight, which was his first rule when we upgraded for season two. No beers on the table.
That's true.
I think it was no drinks on the table.
Yeah. No drinks whatsoever on the table.
No.
And Brett is the habitual breaker of said rule, and it finally bit him in the ass.
And it finally broke. It finally broke. I would say I've tested
not the equipment, because hopefully you can hear us right now.
Yeah. No, we've been fine. But can we please stop turning this me? And then
Gary was just motioning for you to get your drink off the table.
Oh well, I will get my drink off the table. But we're gonna interview Gary.
Yeah,
Gary,
put me on the spot.
How did you come up with the idea of the Mind Life?
Yeah, guy? how does someone come
because
up with
this
something?
Because this is a very, very
so intense and addicting and creative.
Yeah,
I feel like I've been playing a slot machine already for like an hour and a half, and I don't even have like the paper ticket that says you only have 46 cents left.
But you also don't have the lung cancer. That
check
you
your
picked
inbox.
Up.
Check your inbox. You have 100 emails right now.
And here's the invoice.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. So how did you come up with this?
It was about 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Doing the jersey sweater stuff and just kind of putting together a list of the businesses and industries that I wanted to get into. Products was not one of them, but everybody loved the jersey sweater. So what are you going to do? So what happened, I was playing a lot of online poker, a lot of Poker Stars, a lot of Full Tilt Poker, and making a monthly income from that. Graduated from LSU with consumer science bachelor, a minor in business admin, and just when I graduated, there wasn't much technologically going on in Louisiana.
I find that hard to believe.
Breast
beer and beignets.
When I think Louisiana, I think of Karl Malone, and I feel like he's the most tech-savvy person out there.
The number obviously oil is the number one industry, but the number one fun industries of New Orleans is obviously Mardi Gras. Parade routes didn't hit the internet until like 2005, and efficiently not until I went in like 3-4 years ago. It's like finally there's like an interactive map that we can finally go to and just see where all the parades are. What a novel idea. The only time 2 million people show up in our city a week is Mardi Gras. Let's give them a website.
Yeah, now they can just 3D print beads. It'll just be next level, you know?
So, long story short is there's a culmination of a lot of things that were going on in my life and just have transformed in my life that have led to me finding this. I call it an opportunity. You know, with all of the online poker I was doing, there's a lot of fantastic reward programs that these online casinos give you and keep you coming back and back again.
Oh, yeah, I know. I'm going this week, Ellen. Some great rewards that they got me out there for cheap. Right. And now I'm going to spend all the money at the casino.
All that edible underwear you've been purchasing has really paid dividends.
Yeah.
How did you know about that?
He smelt strawberry.
Boysenberry today.
Oh, it is Thursday. It is Thursday.
Yeah. Sorry.
You wear boysenberry out of all the fucking flavors too. Boysenberry. You're a dickhead.
I agree. It is the worst. You're a dickhead, boysenberry man. Is the worst berry that you could get stuck in the really? Woods having to eat.
My God.
To survive and not die. Still be pissed. Be like boysenberry. Fuck. Gosh. I'm gonna walk another 5 miles and see if I can't find something good to eat.
So getting back to it. Sorry. Though, getting back to not Dan's boysenberry underpants.
So you're adding poker with being from a society that wasn't technologically fueled at that point. So when I graduated, I was like, all right, all of this money is transferring online. It's coming to me. So I started researching how much money is being spent online. At that point, it was less than 50%. And then in the next 2 years, more than half of the world's money was being spent online. So I was like, oh, man, that dang dare internet's crazy. So when I graduated, I picked the top 5 emerging internet markets. You know, you got New York, Seattle, Boston at the time, San Francisco and San Diego was starting to boom. So I was like, cool, best weather, because it rained like all the time. And the South just sucks for weather.
Yeah.
Humidity and
everything. Shit. Yeah, just put it all on the list.
America's finest city, coupled with technological advances. I mean, how could you say no?
So it was San Diego. So I had $300, a four-door sedan, and a dog. Put him in the front seat. Everything else I could fit in the back, and just started driving west.
No shit.
Yeah.
Damn, man.
Had a buddy out here who had gotten stationed out here. He was in the Navy and then became a Marine pilot. And he was flying helicopters and got a pretty sweet place downtown. He's like, dude, it's two bedrooms. And I was like, I need somewhere to go. somewhere that has the dang near internet. He was from the South, too. So he was like, oh, we got that.
Was it just G at that time? Just single G?
Oh, yeah. The network? Yeah. Yes.
You're still dialing up 56K, man. Yeah.
I did not have signal while driving through Arizona. and half of Texas.
Right.
Past Dallas. From Dallas to San Diego, no signal on the 10.
How long did it take you to drive?
So my parents at that time lived right outside of Daytona Beach. So I was like, cool, I'll take this opportunity in life to drive the 10 all the way across. So I drive north of Jacksonville, start heading west. From Jacksonville to Dallas took me 2 weeks.
2 weeks. Holy shit.
6.5 years in college, not a doctor or a lawyer. Had a lot of fun, met a lot of people.
Oh, I'm sure.
So all the people you meet down there are from Dallas to DeLand, Florida. So ergo, 2 weeks. And then from Dallas to San Diego, gosh, it probably took me just 32 hours straight driving.
Yeah.
So a little less than 2 days.
Man, so I always ask people that have done that, is it something you have to do in your lifetime? Like drive, you know, across country?
If it's between that or Route 66, I don't know where Route 66 begins and ends. I just see a lot of the entertainment on TV, and there's a lot of places to stop on the way by. So if you don't know people, I'd say go the entertainment route. But I thoroughly enjoyed it. Just, I'm not a cold weather person. The South is where I was born and raised. I like water a lot. So just going through the water places, and then all of a sudden you hit the desert. And that was the first time I experienced a desert and experienced just how long it is. Like walking across it. Dude, I drove across it, and that was like
that
grueling
was
enough. Yeah,
right.
Imagine even that, like a wagon with a like pulled by a horse,
Oregon right. Trail.
Yeah exactly.
No,
and Jenny's got dysentery.
Yeah, fucking dysentery.
And fucking Tommy got bit by a snake.
You just got to be sure you're a banker and you have all the money.
So, Murphy didn't get out of the car. From there was a couple hours after Dallas that we stopped, still in Texas, but he didn't get out of the car at all through Arizona until we got to San Diego. At some point, he just looked up at me. We even stopped at a rest area so I could take like 4 hours of sleep. And he looked up at me and just like, dude, here's the middle finger. Here's the dew claw. And
we're done, bro. Yeah.
So that dog must be there. From Mexico. He knew if he stepped foot in Arizona.
Cuba. I got him in Florida. Oh, okay. So I'd have to.
Well, hey, I knew he was Latino. Right. So.
Well, he must be a great cook, you know. That Cuban blood.
Gary, we're stoked about having you on, brother. Like, I think the mind
glad
life
the darkest
is...
guy in the room said that, though.
Hey.
I mean, my last name is Perez. I can get away with
it. Hey, yeah, like he slides it along right here. Yeah. But I think...
You got to wear a name tag, Dan, to look for.
That's exactly what I have to do. I carry around my birth certificate with like my Ancestry.com background. Like, it's real.
I swear.
Yeah, okay. So, Jerry, you're driving through Arizona. You get through Arizona, then San Diego,
arrive
right?
in San Diego. So, I start freelancing. Start consulting for digital media marketing, e-commerce. And the jersey sweaters happen. So, then I plug and play the jersey sweaters into what I was consulting. It worked. So on the portfolio was the software. I April 15th, 2011 hit, and PokerStars shut down. I went to the website that day, and the FBI seal was there.
Right.
They call it Black Friday in the online gambling world. And so at that point, it was scrub everything, pull the hard drive, and never go on there again. But I'm in San Diego now with no consistent revenue stream. And I was like, okay, I got to make money online. So start searching online. Boom, find Quibids and penny auctions and find Quibids, out.
That's what I was trying to think of earlier.
So find out that even page. If I became a pro at that, all I would be doing is winning a bunch of these products. So how do you turn that into cash to pay my rent? I'd have to be a reseller on eBay or any one of those sites. So it's like, yay, glorified. And then you're taking all that risk. And so you're a glorified reseller. Like, what a horrible life. That's not making money online anymore.
That's a professional.
That's a whole lot of work. Yeah.
That's selling jersey sweaters. I'm back to selling jersey sweaters. Dang it. No. So then just got together with a couple friends, the podcast Battlecast with James Pugh and Dan Brozo.
Which, guys, we should try to talk to them about, too. Like, I think at the end of the day,
a podcast of a podcast? Awesome. Is that frowned upon in the podcast community?
It's called Conception.
Yeah. Conception.
Meta podcast.
The sheer fact that there's a word for it probably means it's negative.
Probably true.
Whatever bad happened in Inception?
You just can't do a podcast on a podcast on a podcast.
How do we make Kyle read? Kyle read.
Yeah, once the fourth layer goes, that's when it goes all south. Yeah. So
the music cue never kicks in, and there's no JGL to save you.
And we don't know where we exist. Yeah.
Right.
But, yeah.
So that is when we got connected with those guys, and they're straight awesome gamers. And so I got to kind of tie into through a ton of research that I did on the current penny auctions. I was like, all right, these people, there's a ton of people doing this, like tens of millions of people, but what do they really want? Because at the end of the day, they're complaining because they feel like they got duped or whatever. But smart people don't play it because they thought through what was going to happen if they put up $100 and didn't win, because they're like, hey, there's millions of people that come to the website a day, thousands of winners per day. Subtraction alone should tell you don't
not
do
good
it.
Odds. Yeah.
So through that, I just saw the freemium app industry grow as well. And I really thought that it would be fun to kind of level the playing field by charging more of a forward front of brand placement and try and get these big brands to occupy these auction spaces, which is just a box where Quibids has a toaster and all this other garage sale stuff. Strategic, and people, you know, over 100 people stare at it in the course of 45 minutes. Dude, what is it worth to a big brand to put your Shell logo up there, your Amazon logo up there? I mean, the places that we all have to spend our money anyway. Like, why are we not doing that at a discount? Why is that not made easier for you?
Well, and especially in the behavior that is induced on going on the Mine Life in the first 5 minutes or whatever. You are clicking on that site, and there is no other site that you're clicking on. For however long you want to invest in that opportunity to win that prize.
That's what a game is, right?
That's gaming. It works in both ways. Exactly. So why isn't somebody enticed to...
Why are we paying to play games? Why did Angry Birds make over $2 billion last year? Why did Candy Crush make over $1.5 billion last year?
Yeah.
Yo, in 5 years, the Mine Life, the movie... We'll come out right after Angry Birds 3.
And hopefully we get like
who
a
plays you guys?
Hopefully we get, yeah, I know. Shit.
Oh, well, we know Jonah Hill's playing me. We just know that.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
You know why we went to the Dan Perez thing right before the segment went to break.
Yeah. Yep.
Jonah Hill, my ass. What?
I mean, no joke.
You are
though.
White, dude.
No joke,
what
though.
Do you mean?
Yeah. We are writing our script element to that component of that Mine Life story. So
I look forward to it. So that's just how the concept started, but it's always been capped by technology. Like, why didn't we have this 4 years ago, 3 years ago, all this other stuff? It's strictly based on what we could build. And right now, you go to any of these auction sites, and if you wanted to play 15 games at one time, dude, you're on like 10 to 15 tabs. Ours, you're on one screen. Yeah, you got to be on your, you know, desktop to enjoy the whole experience. But we're building the app right now to where we're going to guarantee 4 per screen. Right now, they get you 1 or 2 at the most.
Right.
And then, like, to get away from there, and then it's not interactive. They still, when you want to interact with that, they want to take you to another page. So then you just, on mobile, it seems impossible and not fun. It seems way too much of, you took the game away from it.
Right.
I will say my mobile experience was fun if I would have won.
Yeah. Dan's over here like a freaking
gangster.
Yeah, cigarette smoker in a gambling.
But I mean, that shows you, you know, like he won the first two because everybody else, there was over 20 people in those first two, and nobody paid attention.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, it's down to the third one, which was less than the second. Well, actually, the $100 one started last, but it went on longer. The $50 one went on longer, right? So, interaction-wise, and we totally got off segment of why I built this damn thing.
No, but I mean, hey, it makes sense.
It's so you don't have to sell a toaster you won on Quiz
Bid. Exactly.
Honey, damn it.
I think the landlord wants this panini press.
But how much can we get the rent knocked off for this espresso maker?
Well, Jerry, it has been a pleasure to have you on. We've reiterated that. It's been fun to play on Mind Life while we've been recording. But if you want to check that out, you want to head over to themindlife.com, sign up, register, buy some premium minds, play some of the free games, and start making money. So you can follow one of the Twitter accounts at Jersey Sweaters for that. Then it's at the Mind Life, correct?
Underscores in between the and mine.
So at the underscore mind underscore life.
But everything else is just at the Mind Life.
Cool. That's also on Facebook. We've been tagging each other and post there.
You guys are very social too. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I think people are looking
forward to you're going to see a lot more online communication between these brands.
Yeah, yeah. Sure. I think
Instagram,
that's
you can
that's...
find them at the Mind Life. So definitely check that out. Go make some easy money. Go have some fun while you're doing it. Thank you for listening, everybody. We have been Pop Not Soda. If you miss us throughout the week, make sure to check our mini episodes that are released throughout the week. It'll give you a 1 minute update on different topics. You can also follow us at Twitter at @pop_notsoda. Find us on Facebook at @pop_notsodaofficial. You can follow Brian on Twitter at @BOwens619. Follow Brett at @NiecesPieces or myself at @Dan_Perez_. We will be off next week. We are taking a break as I take my annual pilgrimage to Vegas, so please pray for me. Send your thoughts, and hopefully your good, lucky vibes.
And Venmo you.
Yeah, please. Donations.
Also, Venmo you $5 for red.
Yep. And have those plan Bs ready.
Oh, yeah. Oh, whoa.
We're talking about water.
But we will be back.
Water.
Theme of the episode with
it's Vegas. It's
we will be back Vegas. In 2 weeks with a brand new episode. So make sure you check popnotsoda.podbean.com every Monday or subscribe on iTunes Podcasts. We will see you on the flip side.
Thanks for coming on, Gary.
Bow, bow, bow.